question-and-answer session. As a reminder,
Executive Chairman and CTO, Colin Parkin, CEO. Jinbo Zhu, Senior VP and CFO. All company executives will participate in the Q&A session and Recurrent Energy, respectively, and Jinbo will go through the financial results. Colin will conclude the prepared remarks with the business outlook, after which we will have time for questions. Before we begin, I would like to remind listeners that management's prepared remarks today, as well as their answers to questions, will contain certain forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties. The company claims protection under the Safe Harbor for Forward-Looking Statements that is contained in the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Actual results may differ from management's current expectations. Any projections of the company's future performance represent management's estimates as of today. Canadian Solar assumes no obligation to update these projections in the future unless otherwise required by applicable law. A more detailed discussion of risks and uncertainties can be found in the company's annual report on Form 20-F filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Management's prepared remarks will be presented within the requirements of SEC Regulation G regarding generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP. Some financial information presented during the call will be provided on both a GAAP and non-GAAP basis. By disclosing certain non-GAAP information, management intends to provide investors with additional information to enable further analysis of the company's performance and underlying trends. Management uses non-GAAP measures to better assess operating performance and to establish operational goals. Non-GAAP information should not be viewed by investors as a substitute for data provided in accordance to GAAP. And now I would like to turn the call over to Canadian Solar's Executive Chairman and CTO, Dr. Shawn Qi. Shawn, please go ahead.
Thank you, Wina, and thank you all for joining our first quarter 2026 earnings call. Beginning on slide 3, we started the year with strong momentum. We recognized the revenue of 2.5 gigawatts of solar modules and 2.1 gigawatt hours of energy storage solution, both of which exceeded our guidance range. Revenue totaled $1.1 billion, reaching the high end of our expectations. Gross margin of 25.1% outperformed our forecast, aided by the accrual of IEPA tariff refunds. Profitability was impacted by elevated in still physical power infrastructure. With rising global geopolitical friction and the push for energy independence, nations are increasingly evolved, and today we are navigating a veteran of the company and renewable energy, while working closely with Colin to
next phase of growth. Zones in reshoring the renewable energy supply chain. Phase one of our flagship solar cell factory facility in the United States once it ramps up over the next two quarters. In response to strong cell nameplate capacity to 6.3 gigawatts peak, and making us the largest crystalline silicon solar cell manufacturer in Texas. Let's walk through this quarter's manufacturing numbers. Turning to slide six. In the 160 basis point increase was driven by healthy energy storage volumes and the tariff refund. With unit shipping costs holding steady and disciplined management of operating expenses, we achieved hours of energy storage solutions this quarter, including 500 megawatt hours to internal and external projects under execution, recognizing revenue on 2.1 bank capacities to install. As we focus on maintaining our stellar execution track record, we are also balancing growth and profitability. As of May, our contracted backlog totaled $3.5 billion. Including 34 gigawatt hours of operating projects under long-term service agreements. As we continue to scale our storage business, these recurring revenue streams will also increase. Finally, we continue to actively pursue opportunities within both front-of-the-meter and behind-the-meter data center applications. While most commercialized demand today is
it is the first standalone BESS project in our portfolio that was financed with non-recourse project finance and had no capacity contract in place. We have now successfully monetized and sold the asset profitably, demonstrating that we can also achieve profitable sales for these merchant market project types. With relatively muted project sales this quarter and ongoing platform operating costs, we posted an operating loss of $60 million. As we continue to monetize more operating and under construction assets, the P&L impact may not be optimal in the near term. However, this strategy remains necessary to deliver our balance sheet and recycle capital. Turning to slide 9. As of March 31st, 2026, we have secured interconnections for 7 gigawatts of solar and 14 gigawatt hours of storage globally, excluding projects already in operation. our total project pipeline is comprised of 24 gigawatts of solar and 81 gigawatt hours of energy storage. Our focus in 2026 is to reduce debt and mature our pipeline. Our pipeline is one of the largest in the industry, with a focus on the most stable geographic markets. Our strategy will also allow us to reduce operating expenses by concentrating fewer geographies within our core footprint. We are now focused on unlocking the value of the existing pipeline as it matures. At the same time, we see the rising global energy demand trend and growing appetite for these projects. Our O&M platform continues to grow steadily and holds a contracted portfolio of 15 gigawatts, of which 11.2 gigawatts are already operational. The remainder is currently under construction and will join our managed project portfolio over the coming quarters. Now, let me hand the call over to Chimbo, who will go through our financial results in more detail. Chimbo, please go ahead.
At the high end of our forecast. Gross margin of 25.1% strongly exceeded guidance. It increased both sequentially and year over year due to the accrual of tariff refunds, which contributed 860 basis points. Without this one-time benefit, our gross margin still exceeded guidance on strong storage volumes and a healthy geographic mix of solar modules.
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 V CN20210130.
Volumes. Operating expenses increased 5% sequentially, as lower freight costs were offset by the absence of one-time gains recorded in previous quarters. Net interest expense in the first quarter was $36 million, down from $39 million in the first quarter of 2025. Cost of debt was lower following refinancings in the project development business. Attributable to Canadian Solar was $32 million or 71 cents $9 million. $15.5 billion, driven by increase. In the first quarter, we invested $173 million in capital expenditures, primarily toward U.S. manufacturing initiatives. We expect 2026 CapEx to total around $1.3 billion. We ended $1 billion. Total debt increased mainly due to new convertible notes issued to support U.S. manufacturing. With our guidance and business outlook, Pauline, please go ahead.
Thank you, Shimbo. Turning to slide 12, for the second quarter of 2026, we expect to recognize revenue on 3.1 and 0.2 gigawatt hours of energy storage solutions, including approximately 400 megawatt hours to internal and external projects under construction. Revenue and profit recognition for volumes delivered to the conservative and wider due to delays related to ongoing shipping congestion. We project total second quarter revenue to be in the range of $1 to $1.2 billion, with gross margin expected to be between 13 and 15%. The broader solar market remains complex, as incremental price increases have not yet fully absorbed upstream cost pressures. In the storage business, we expect record volumes in the second half of the year, though margins are projected to normalize and we remain partially exposed to fluctuations in the lithium carbonate pricing. In the face of these for the full year of 2026, we reiterate our U.S. volume guidance, 6.5 to 7 gigawatts of module shipments, and 4.5 to 5.5 gigawatt hours of energy storage shipments. With that, I would like to open the floor for questions. Operator?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from the line of Colin Rusch with Oppenheimer & Company. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks so much. Sean, this is actually a question for you on the technology side. You know, and congratulations on getting the battery costs down to where you've gotten them. You know, I'm just curious about the evolution of the battery chemistry, you know, notably around incremental silicon doping for the anode side, as well as the form factor and chemistry optimization for data center duty cycles. Can you just talk about how quickly
into the anode so that we can achieve like almost no degradation in the first 5 good technology and process wise we are all ready. However, that indeed that will increase the cost of the battery because you have to dope more So the technology is ready. We can implement it on any project where this technology provides more volume. Another approach in the chemistry of the battery is the sodium battery. We also have research in this area. You know, sodium is not subject to the fluctuation of raw material. Sodium is everywhere, not like lithium. So when the lithium carbonate price go to today's level, sodium become price competitive. And also the sodium can will have better low temperature performance and almost doesn't require any thermal management. So you can also save the 2% annual, you know, thermal management electricity cost. So that's another chemistry we are doing research. And there are a few other technologies.
You know, where utility scale prices are in the U.S. I'm just curious about your ability to renegotiate PPAs or start cutting PPAs at substantially higher prices to support margins. Just curious about that dynamic and potential timing around that.
Yeah, I would just make a quick comment here. Now, for the mature product project already in operation, the PPA is fixed. The advantage is that it's PPA and cash flow. You know, pay back your LCs. If you want to do a higher PPA, I think we did one project in the past, which we paid the LC and for example, the AI DC specific applications, and therefore drive higher values. So in short, mature pipeline, our breeding pipeline with PPA give us certainty. Now, meanwhile,
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. At first sellout, congratulations on that. When would you expect the commercial shipment of those cells to go into your modules? And when do you think your first U.S.
speech. We expect somewhere in July or
Sean. And then as it relates to your sourcing of third-party cells, can you remind us what countries or places you're sourcing those cells from? And do you have any exposure to Ethiopia? You know, there was that new petition that was filed a couple of days ago or yesterday on a potential new anti-circumvention tariff on cells coming from Ethiopia. And then finally, do you have do you buy any blue wafers at all? Is that or in your supply chain, do you have exposure to blue wafers? Thanks.
Thanks, Philip. That's a very tricky question. However, I will give you a straightforward answer. Now, we do source outside cells and also import cells from other countries to the United States. We are transitioning to more and more domestic cell. So as I have mentioned in several previous calls, 2026 is a transition year for us. Now, we don't provide the geographic distribution or sources of our cells in this transition period. However, as far as I know, we are not subject to the expulsion of the recent petition, as you mentioned.
Okay, thank you, Sean. And then anything on blue wafers? Do you have any thoughts on that? And is that in your supply chain?
No, there's no blue, so-called blue wafers. Whatever cell made in a certain country, those cells should go through the necessary solar cell steps. For our factory, we only use so-called gate wafer, and the cell production process are completed in the whatever set country.
Great. Okay. Thank you. And then one last one here on the IEEPA tariff in the quarter. You guys booked it. Can you talk about the accounting for that? And specifically, did you guys secure cash with that refund, or is that expected sometime in the future? And if it doesn't come, then what happens to the accounting? Thanks.
Yeah, I will let Tim Boer to supplement. And now the refund, IEEPA tariff refund, consists of basically, I guess I would say three components. One is the refund on the tariff for imported, let's say imported solar cell or other manufacturing components. Now, those refunds, I believe, will be accrued in the COGS, which is the standard accounting. Now, there are also some refunds of the machines we shipped to U.S. Those will not go into COGS. I think those will be used to reduce the cost base of our CapEx investment in U.S. Therefore, later on, benefit on the depreciation of the machines. And those refunds, some of those will go into the CSI Solar subsidiaries because CSI Solar have done importing last year. Now, some of this, I believe, will go to the CSIQ companies because CSIQ also imported materials early this year. Now, in terms of cash flow, I'm glad to report that we have already started to receive the IEEPA tax refund, received the cash as of today. We have already received the cash. So you will see the cash components in the Q2 accounting. So in Q1, those IEEPA will be recorded, but there will be an account receivable or something like that. And Q2, you will see real cash accredited to those account receivable. I hope I answered the question right. But, you know, Xinbo can supplement.
Not much to add. We received the cash together with interest. Thank you.
Yeah, so far we have started to receive tariff refund together with the interest. As you probably know, those refunds are batch by batch. It depends on the every entries of the import. So what CBP does is to verify and refund entries by entries. Therefore, there will be cash flow refund come to us depending on entries. So it will see lots of entries. So it will be a process. However, we have already started to receive cash. Some cash already arrived in our account, bank accounts.
Great. Thank you for all the color, Sean and Xinbo. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alan Lau with Jefferies. Please proceed with your question.
Thanks for taking my question. So the margin in first quarter is very solid, actually, even taking out the refund of tariff. So we'd like to know how much of the module shipment is coming from the U.S. plant, and as you have mentioned, the margins from your U.S. manufacturing plant was decent. We'd like to know at approximately what levels is it?
Yeah, I think around 30-40% of the module shipment come from U.S. factory. It's more or less the same ratio as before. Now, Wina, do you have some color to provide?
Yes, so in line with our profit-first strategy, we have been emphasizing our key strategic markets. So you'll see quarter over quarter, we've maintained a very healthy mix of North American volumes. This quarter, out of our 2.5 gigawatts, 45% came from North America. So a very healthy mix that supported our module margins.
So basically, almost all of the shipment to the U.S. is manufactured by the U.S. plant?
Not almost all of.
Thank you. So how about the margins there? Like, what's the approximate margin of the U.S. Manufacturing plant?
Yeah, I will let Colin to provide colors there.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for your question. We're in a transitional period in the U.S. as we transition our scale our Mesquite module operations, but bring online our cell manufacturing in Jeffersonville. So there will be a transitional period, but I think what we can say is with the combination of the 45X manufacturing credits, but also with the economies of scale that we're building in the U.S. and the fact that we're going to be using the most advanced HJT cell technology in our products, that during this transition, as we mentioned, we start to scale in Q3, Q4, and heavily into 2027, that those will all be combined and complementary to a pretty robust margin. So we strongly believe that all these factors are going to lead to a strong and robust U.S. Profitable business model.
Understood. So so actually the company is already ramping up its HJT sales. So wonder if you are seeing a premium
of HJT products versus other products like PERC or TOPCon products in the U.S. markets?
Yeah, Alan, we haven't commercially delivered the HJT cell yet. As I said, in answer to a previous question, we expect in Q3 we start to deliver that. However, based on the contract booking, we do price a premium of HJT cell compared to the TOPCon cell. Yes, we do price, for the contract we already signed, the customers willingly accepted a premium for the HJT cells.
Oh, that's impressive. But how much is the premium in terms of US cents?
Well, it's still a going process. We just started to book those contracts. As far as I remember, talking about over 10% or maybe 10-15% of the price premium of the HJT cell, HJT modules versus TOPCon modules. But we will give you better numbers, I guess, after Q4, when we have actual comparison of the module shipment.
And if it's 10 to 15%, that's equivalent to more than 3 cents, maybe, which is pretty impressive. So, yeah, switching gear to ESS segment, so would like to know if the margins is at around 20% level.
Can you repeat which area?
ESS energy storage. What's the margin for ESS storage in the first quarter? Yeah.
Okay. I will let Colin to address this question.
Yeah, I think Alan. One of the things that I'd like to point out is that our backlog continues to be very healthy. Energy storage around $3.5 billion in order backlog, and so we have a reasonably long view on our energy storage pipeline and the margins. And with that, I think everybody recognizes that. That there's continued price pressures, but I think by diversifying our supply chain and giving ourselves a lot of flexibility in our supply chain, that we're confident in our pipeline and in the margins associated with that. We do know that there is fluctuations in the commodity pricing and in lithium pricing, so we may see some improvements on that, but perhaps more of a cautious approach in how we present our forecasted numbers with that in mind.
Understood. So wonder if the going forward, the local production of the battery pack would help the margins?
Yeah, I think everything we're doing to control our own supply chain is giving us very good strategic advantage, but also control of all aspects, logistics, manufacturing costs, and seamless project integration. So it continues to be our strategy to grow our capabilities all the way from our lithium cell manufacturing through our complete battery systems, but also in our total ESS solutions. So total integrated ESS solutions, including software, technology, the PCS, the battery themselves, and supporting that with a very strong engineering and execution team as part of our strategy to also deliver lots of value for our customers, and also, as we mentioned in the
prepared remarks, our long-term service contracts to support this is also very valuable to our customers and to us as it continues to be ongoing recurring business for our energy storage business.
Understood. So last question from my end is, is there any difficulty or any challenges in expanding the cell capacities, given there were some rumors saying that the export of solar cell capacities might be prohibited, etc. So I wonder if when you're expanding your capacities to 6.3 gigawatt, wonder if you get any challenges in getting your equipment in place.
So far, we don't see that challenge. I know what you are talking about, and I hope that the President Trump's visit to Beijing, I believe he just shook hands with President Xi of China several hours ago. I hope that visit will help to smooth out and the trade relationships. However, so far, we don't see any challenges for our, especially for phase two equipment deliveries. We haven't started to take deliveries of the phase two solar cell equipment. As we mentioned, phase one, we plan to ramp up in 2-3, and phase two will start to moving equipment in 2-4, probably in October, November timeframe, and we'll start ramp up of the phase two of Jeffersonville early next year. So we haven't taken deliveries of those machines yet, but so far we haven't seen any restriction, at least not to our contract. By the way, we signed the related equipment contract for the phase two machineries very early. So that was before any noise around this issue. So I believe that the fact we have.
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 VCN20210130.
Already signed those equipment contracts. We have also paid some down payment, also give us of advantage if there's any restriction. I think restriction may be to the future equipment, not for our machines. I think our machine is more or less, you know, grandfather, whatever, if there's any restriction, come out. However, I do hope that President Trump's visit will help to further clear any of the uncertainties in this area.
Thanks, Sean. It's very clear, and hope things go smooth in expansion as well. So thanks a lot. I'll pass on. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Maheep Mandloi with Mizuho Securities. Please proceed with your question.
Hey, hello, everyone. Thanks for taking the questions here. There's just a question on the guidance. If you could talk about like the mix of manufacturing versus recurrent in Q2, is it similar to what we saw in Q1? And also for the U.S. or North America exposure, how to think about the mix in Q2 versus Q1? Thanks.
Yeah, I will let Colin to address this question.
Well, I think, first of all, thank you for your question. With respect to the guidance, we are reiterating our U.S. guidance from last quarter, so we feel confident in our current execution. So we don't expect any significant downside on our reiterated guidance as we put out in our prepared remarks.
Gotcha. And just curious on the mix in Q2 versus Q1, as you for the manufacturing versus recurrent and North America versus rest of regions.
I think most of our, if I understand the question correctly, most of our shipments are to third parties, very little to our recurrent operations in terms of our product shipment. I'm not sure if that is at the root of your question.
That's fine. I'll follow up offline on detail on that. But separately, a question on the e-STORAGE business. How much of the backlog is North America for you guys and for Canadian for CS PowerTech? And also, are you seeing any interest or any orders in the pipeline from data center customers or hyperscalers looking to deploy batteries on site? Thanks.
Sure. Yeah, two good questions that I appreciate you raising. About 40% of our business is in the U.S. right now. And obviously, we're seeing that demand increase, both the build-out of infrastructure, front of the meter, and now we're starting to see a lot of progression into behind-the-meter opportunities. So today, we're pretty happy about our global pipeline and that we're diversified. We have, just to talk before I come back to the U.S. and the data center question, we have about 60% of the U.S., or sorry, the Canadian battery market. We have over, I think, 4.5 gigawatt hours contracted there. We're, I think, in the leading position in the U.K. market. We're starting to see a lot of progress in Europe now, as those key markets in Europe are starting to become very active. Similarly, in Japan, as the BESS market's maturing in Japan, we're seeing a lot of opportunity for that market. And as well, we continue to be steady with a couple of gigawatt hours a year in Australia. So having that diversification, I think, is good for our e-STORAGE business. But with respect to the question about AIDC, well, we have been working on this for quite a while. Last quarter, we announced a front-of-the-meter infrastructure project, 2.5 gigawatt hours, to support data center growth. We have developed very focused business development and technology teams focusing on making sure that our solutions have the right technical requirements, the stringent requirements for fast response for data centers and the other requirements. And that's getting a lot of traction, as well as the fact that we're able to offer fully compliant solutions for data centers. So while we cannot actually disclose who we're working with, I can tell you that we're very engaged right now on data center opportunities. And that it's a big part of our program and our focus, and we expect it to yield some pretty exciting results for us in the next quarters that hopefully we'll be able to be a little more forthcoming about as we get further along in the contracting processes.
No, that's great. I appreciate the detailed color on the different markets as well. Maybe just one last one on the guidance for the rest of the year. I know you obviously haven't guided for Q3, Q4, the full year, but directionally, like, how should we think about the business here with the U.S. factories ramping up? Should we be looking something similar to last year's cadence or something different here? Any color would be helpful. Thank you.
Well, I guess if we look at the solar side first, there's been a lot of volatility
in that market. There continues to be a lot of volatility, and our approach, as you know, has been to focus on profitable business over volume. And so we're on that basis, we've been reserving guidance, but keeping an opportunistic position to strike with more volume as the markets support it. So we see, I think, on the solar side, hopefully some improvements that we can take advantage in terms of volume on the second half, but reserving a little bit our position on guidance and focusing on the U.S. where we have you know, a strong line of sight on our volumes and our guidance. With storage, our pipeline remains strong, as we've mentioned, and we have also, in our prepared remarks, expressed that we will hit record deliveries in our storage side for the second half of this year. And these are projects that go through a very sophisticated level of planning and logistics, and it's based on that we're very confident in the second half of the year on our storage side. We don't see, barring any unexpected circumstances, a very strong second half for our energy storage business, probably in record deliveries.
Thank you. Appreciate the color, Colin, and say congratulations on the appointment. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our time allowed for questions. I'll turn the floor back to management for any final comments.
Thank you for joining us today and for your continued support. If you have any questions or would like to set up a call, please contact our investor relations team. Take care and have a great day. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines at this time. Thank you for your participation.